Welcome to Breakthrough Business Strategies Radio, and happy Monday to each and every one of you. My name is Michelle Price, and on Twitter, you can connect with me at Prosperity Gal. And we're coming to you from the third coast of Houston, Texas today. And you know, today is the first Monday of the month, which is when we get the opportunity to hear from Don Cooper, the sales heretic, who has for 2 years now been bringing us great sales tips and ideas each month. Now, today's Breakthrough Savvy tip, we're going to be discussing what to do when the sales stalls. And I can say I have been there before myself. So let's bring Don Cooper on and ask him to help us understand and ask better questions when that happens to you in your sales call. How are you doing today, Don?
Terrific, Michelle. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. So what is the deal when a sale stalls? Why does that happen?
That's a good question. That's the first thing we need to deal with is why is the sale stalled? Because from our perspective, there's no reason for it to stall. We know they have the need, they have the budget, they're interested in moving forward, and yet it just doesn't happen. Well, if they're not actually completing the deal, there are four basic reasons why. Number one is it's not a priority for them. It could be that they've got a lot of other things on their plate, and so whatever it is you're selling is not their highest priority at the moment. It may be at some point, but it's not right now. Or it could be because the decision maker, the person who makes the ultimate decision, they don't see the need as much as whoever else you've been talking to. So you might be talking to a VP, and the VP sees the need very clearly, wants to move forward, but the CEO doesn't see the need the same way the VP does. So in some way, it's not a priority. Either there's not enough time to deal with it, or it's not a priority for the right person. The second reason a sale could be stalled is they're afraid of spending money. None of us really like spending money, and there's always a risk when spending money that it's not going to work, or the money could be spent somewhere else, or if we wait longer, we might get a discount, or because of our budget, we might be afraid to go to the decision maker and request money for what we want. So there might be a fear there of spending money for whatever it is you're selling. Third reason why a sale could be stalled is that they don't trust you. Anytime we make a purchase, it's a commitment. And the bigger the purchase, the bigger the commitment. Whatever business you're in, to some degree, it's a trust business. So they need to trust you before they will spend money with you. And the bigger amount of money we're talking, the more trust has to be there. So it's possible they just don't trust you enough to buy you. And the fourth reason sale could be stalled is you didn't ask for the sale. So if they're not asked, they don't have any reason to move forward. So those are the four basic reasons why a sale could be stalled. With that in mind, let's look at six strategies that you can use to overcome a stall. Number one, grab their attention. Do something that grabs their attention and makes them think of you. You might send them a pen with a note saying, hey, I figured the reason you probably haven't signed the contract yet is you can't find a pen. I know I had that problem all the time. So here's one you can use. Or send them go to a chocolate shop, get a little two-piece box of chocolate. A lot of chocolate shops sell these. And send this little two-piece box of chocolate to the client, to the prospect, and say, I'm looking forward to sending you a big box of these as a celebratory gift once the contract is signed. Or send them a watch, send them a clock, send them an egg timer with a note saying, hey, the clock is ticking, or time's a-wasting. Something that jars them out of their normal everyday routine and puts you front and center in front of them, especially in a way that's humorous.
I'm curious, Don. Have you done that in any of these, and what's been the result from it?
Yeah, I have done things like this in the past. And usually you get a phone call or an email immediately, and they say, oh, my God, yeah, I've been meaning to get around to this. Thank you for the reminder. It creates some guilt. It creates some embarrassment. But it can also create some humor and some bonding. Now, is there a risk? Yes, always. But the risk is small because, really, you don't have a sale yet, so you got nothing to lose. You may as well do something to try to move things forward. Second thing you can do is to warn them of danger. Show them very clearly what they're losing by not buying. Highlight the risks and the cost to them. How much are they losing per day by not implementing your solution? What are the risks if they don't buy from you, especially if you sell something like insurance or some kind of maintenance package? What happens if something goes wrong? What happens when something goes wrong? Send articles, stories about other people who have had disaster fall upon them because they didn't buy what you're selling. Third thing you can do is provide an incentive to act now. If they've been waiting for a discount, maybe you should give them a discount. Tell them, hey, this is our slow season. We can give you a price break for the next, 2 weeks. Or we just got an order in, so we've got more in our warehouse than normal. We're going to go through it fairly quickly, though, so I can give you a special price just for the next week. Remember, if you give a discount of any type, there's got to be a good logical reason for it.
Well, and I like how you tied a deadline to it, because a lot of times people seem to think that they can ask for that and they'll get it from here to eternity.
Yes, absolutely. And the same is true for the fourth tactic, which is to make whatever it is you're selling scarce. Go the opposite way. Warn them, hey, we're going to have a shortage here in the next few weeks. So if you don't buy now, you may not be able to get delivery when you want it. Or we're running into our busy season now. We're going to start getting really busy in the next 30 days, and then we won't have the manpower to deal with you. So either way, whether you're providing an incentive or making what you sell scarce, give them a deadline. Let them know when they need to act by. A lot of people are motivated by deadlines. I'm one. If I don't have a deadline, it ain't getting done. Give me a deadline, though, and I'll meet it. And so very often, that's what we have to do for clients. The fifth thing you can do is to demonstrate your value. If they don't trust you enough, give them things that will help to build that trust, to show your value. Send articles, white papers, send client testimonials. Have one of your clients call them. Send them a list of references or referrals. I was working with a prospect recently, and the VP really wanted me. The CEO didn't know me very well, though. And so we got to a point where the sale was stalled for that reason. There wasn't enough trust there. So I sent the CEO a CD of one of my sales programs. That sealed the deal. That gave the CEO enough trust in my abilities to make him want to go forward with the deal. So what can you do to demonstrate your value to your prospects? And then number six, ask for a commitment. And that might be a commitment for the deal, or it might be a commitment for whatever the next step is. So you might say to your prospect, we both agree that this is what you want, it's what you need, you've got the money. So what do we need to do to move this thing forward? What do you need from me? What do you need to happen in order to make this work? And just ask for the sale. Are you ready to buy now? Is this the right solution for you? When would you like to start?
Don, I'm curious. When it comes to asking for the sale, do you think it's because people aren't quite sure how to do it that keeps them from taking that particular action?
Absolutely. People often aren't trained enough on closing. One of my most popular sales training programs is all about closing. So if you're not comfortable closing, learn. Get some books, get some videos, get some audios. Learn more about closing. It's not that hard. It simply is a skill that takes a little bit of practice.
And it's interesting, too, because that seems to be the thing that most people want to learn, how to close. And what we've uncovered for the past 2 years is really where people need to rev up their skills is more at the beginning of the process versus the closing. It's like they focus all their reading and attention on that, yet they still don't seem to be doing it well. It's kind of an interesting dilemma to me.
Yeah, if you do enough of the things right at the beginning of the process, as far as asking the right questions, learning everybody who's involved in the decision-making process, and so on, then the closing becomes easier. At the same time, closing is still a skill, and you need to be able to do it well. It all works together.
I'd be curious, because one of the things that you brought up today, and you talked about a little bit, was there's definitely a risk involved anytime you reach back out with any of the really great ideas that you came up with today. And my question to you is, since we might, this is something we definitely want to talk about in a future sales tip, but in case someone tries it and it doesn't go across the way they want it because it was a tad bit risky, could you give a quick suggestion of how to maneuver if the receiver doesn't, they didn't receive it very well?
If they didn't receive it well, then they're probably not the right fit for you as a client.
Mm.
If your good-natured attempt to help them make a decision to buy something they really want and need went over poorly, then that's not going to be a good client relationship for you in the first place.
And I love how you were constantly reminding us to be willing to let go of people who are not the ideal client for us. It's another thing that you and Andrea Walsh, our go-for-no gal, really share. Lean into those no's more.
Right. Embrace the no. I would rather have a prospect tell me no than maybe. If I know that their answer is no, I can move on. I can devote my time and energy to other prospects, better prospects, and I can stop chasing them.
So true. Well, Don, I want to thank you so much for helping us to understand better the different kind of actions that we can take when a sale has stalled. And, of course, as usual, you came up with some really good, unique ways that kind of make the whole process fun.
My pleasure, Michelle.